Do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Jane, be praying for Jane. She's got just 2 weeks before she gets a hip replacement. You may be seated. I'm sure she's looking forward to that. You know, I give Jimmy the bulletin, usually the title for the message, on Wednesday. I try to give it to him on Wednesday. Sometimes I'm right on time and it's Friday morning when I give it to him. But anyway, that would be my fault. But you know something? I am so glad that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Because I was going to bring another message. I was trying to get all the parables included because there's such truth in all of the parables. But Thursday morning, was it Thursday morning or Friday morning? I think it was Thursday morning. Yeah, it was Thursday morning. Thursday morning, the Holy Spirit said, no. No parables. We're basically done with the parables. Okay, Lord, but I got this message already. What do I do? And he folks, he gave me a message for you that he wants you to have this morning. He wants you to know this morning. He wants you, everyone in this room, to know the love of God. The love of God. Because that is why we are here this morning. On Thursday, when the Lord changed the message, I needed to be reminded that there are times God knows better than any of us know about anything. And when he wants us to receive a message from him, it's because there is a reason. He has a reason. We don't know what's down the road. But there may be times when we need to have re-emphasized in our lives about our relationship with God. In most of our courting days, when we were seeking a mate, and some of us did, some of us were ambushed and didn't have a choice, but no, not really. But in our courting days, sometimes we just wondered how much the object of our courtship cared about us. Were they just leading us along to get what benefit they could from the relationship? Or did they really love us? Was it real? And sometimes we would get led down the garden path. We didn't really understand what love was. I know I didn't understand what love was when I got married almost 57 years ago. But I've learned. God's love is not like our love for each other. God's love is a little different. And so I would like to have you turn to 1 John. That's a little bitty book in the very back of the Bible, just before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we want to look at about five verses here. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7 through 11. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we, you and I, might have life through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." You know, in these five verses is one command and seven statements of fact. One command and seven statements of fact to back up the command. The true measure of the believer's heart and motive for living is summed up in these five verses. They are not, if they're not being fulfilled in your life, you probably don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." And there are a lot of people in this world who are in love with themselves and no one else. They are all important. That the world revolves around them. But they're not God's people. For God's people, the world revolves around God's love for us. So as we think about the love of God, particularly this morning, we must be thinking about the terms of that absolute love, particularly when it comes to God's love for us. Since the creation of the world, since the creation of Adam and Eve, there has been one person who is the enemy of all who know the Heavenly Father. He is the enemy of the Creator. He is the enemy of the Comforter. He is your enemy. He will never do you any good. He will never keep a promise to you. He will do everything he can to frustrate your life and the purpose that God has for your life and the love that God wants to show you. Now, I thought maybe Tim was going to preach my message this morning in Sunday school because he mentioned an example that I'm going to use this morning. I don't know what you think about when you think about Job. If you think about all the stuff that he went through and things. But I want us to think about Job this morning. Now, the book of Job is probably the earliest book written in the Bible. It goes back prior to Moses and the Pentateuch, the first five books. It actually was written before that. A lot of folks don't know that, but it was. It's the oldest. We believe it's the oldest book in the Bible. But you know what? God loved Job just like he loves each of you. God's love for Job was as great as it is for you, except for one little difference. Job lived prior to the time that God could show his grace to you and I. God did something before. Turn to Job. It's just before the Psalms in the Old Testament. We want to look at a couple of things. And the reason that we're going to look at that is because some of the same things may happen to you or come into your life. We were talking last Wednesday night about how quickly everything we have can vanish. And I shared an example of a millionaire that Connie and I met in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, after Katrina. He was picking through a pile of clothing because prior to the hurricane, he had been a millionaire. And now he had absolutely nothing except for the clothes on his back. And they were wet and dirty. I want you to see that even when circumstances come into your life like came into Job's life, it's not God who is doing it. God is permitting it, but he is not the one who's doing it. And so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at Job and some of the things that happened to him. Tim, I hope I'm not destroying your message. See, Tim's going to take my place on the 27th in the evening service. Connie and I are actually going to take what we call a vacation. We're not sure what that is, but anyway, it's been so long since we've seen one. But anyway, we're going to be gone for a week. But in Job 1, verses 6 through 12, we are told, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Nothing can come into your life that God does not permit. Nothing. Satan can't touch you unless God permit it. And if God permits it, it's because God wants to show his love for you. You say, "How does taking stuff away show his love?" You will see. You will see. Wednesday night, as we were studying Hosea, we discovered that God can take away in a heartbeat everything that we have. So can the devil. So can the devil. Now, he has to have God's permission to do that, and only if that brings glory to God. Because this fact is true, and we have examples of it, I strongly recommend that you give everything you have to God. Everything. Children, mate, all of your physical property, you give it to God in your heart and in your mind. And then the devil can't take it away from you because it doesn't belong to you anymore. And he can't take it away from God. But you see, Job had all this stuff. And that's all it was. That's all it is. What we accumulate in life is just stuff. Now, we don't think of it that way. We put, you know, different values on it because it's our stuff. Not really. It's on loan to us from God. And he can take it back if he needs it. But if we give everything to God, then the devil's got to take it away from him. Back to the love of God. God loved Job just as much as he loves you and I. God has proved his love for us according to verse 9 of 1 John 4 that we read earlier. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this morning, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have believed on him, if you believe he's a resurrected Savior, then you have him living in your heart, and you also have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, and you have real life. But if you do not have him, if he is not in your heart, if you've never believed on him, then you do not have real life. You have a pseudo life, a pretend life, a life that will result in eternal torment. And that's why we're here. That's so important that we know individually, you know, there is a time in your life where you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you have, then you are experiencing and you are living in the love of God. The majority of the people in the world do not have that. The majority of people in the world are lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. Some of them, many of them, most of them have never even heard his name. And you should all know that and be experiencing his love because you have eternal life. Now, what does the rest of the world have? They have eternal condemnation, because they have not believed on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we love God the way that he loves us, we'll try to communicate God's love to those who don't know him. That's the job he's given all of us. And you're going to meet people almost every day who don't really know God. It's just so amazing how God intercedes. I shared with you a few weeks ago about a fellow wanting to buy our hearing aid batteries. Yeah, you were probably vacationing in Minnesota, okay? But we went to Walmart to try and buy one of those stationary bicycles, and we had tried out there out here on Dorchester. They didn't have one, so we decided we'd go over here on Rivers. And we walked into the store, and we just walked past a battery display. We were out of hearing aid batteries, and there was 36 of the batteries in a big pack. Normally, you can only get 8 or 10. And so we decided, I took the pack off, and it was $20. And I would carry it through the store. We went back, and we looked. They didn't have stationary bikes. And so we started out, and Connie said, why don't you put that back, and we'll get it at the other store. And I said, no, we're supposed to get this today. And so we went up to the checkout, and they were busy. I mean, the lines. And there was a self-checkout, one guy checking out in a self-checkout. And so he was checking his groceries out, and we walked on up, and he was checking out some pretty nice stuff. And I said, can we come to your house for supper? And he looked up at me and he said, sure, come on. But he didn't give me the address. And he looked down at my hand and he says, is that all you got? I said, yeah. He says, give it to me, I'll buy it. I said, that is $20. He said, it's okay. And so he bought it. Now, folks, I didn't see any wings, okay? I don't know. But God did that to bless us. And we thanked him. We thanked him. And you know, and he said, well, God bless you. And he did. And we said, God bless you. God, like you've blessed us. And so the guy went his way. Yesterday, for you younger folks, I'll warn you in advance, as you get older, you start getting shorter. But your ears continue to grow, and so do your feet. And I am moving into a new size of shoe. And so we have been looking for, trying to find shoes, and the Lord said we were supposed to go someplace yesterday afternoon and get shoes, and so we went there. And really, the Lord will talk to you that way because he loves you. And so we went and we picked out, Connie found two pairs of shoes and I found two pairs of shoes. And everything was half price, which was good. And we got in line to pay for it. And a woman stepped up, she had been shopping in the store, she stepped up and said, here's a 20% off coupon. So not only did we get 50% off, we got another 20% off on top of that. Didn't know her, but there she was. God had put her there for just that moment. And if we had not been in that store at the leading of the Holy Spirit, we would not have received the blessing. God has a blessing for you. Whatever you do, because he loves you. Now, we need to have the Holy Spirit living in our soul. And the first evidence of the Spirit's fruit is what? Love. Love. When he occupies your soul, he gives you a love for other people that is not of you, it's of God. And you can't help it. He's going to make you love. He's going to make you love people, the people around you. He's going to make you love people who are total strangers. And he's going to make you want to do something for all the people out there because he's God and he loves us. Now, Jimmy and I have a verse that we bat back and forth. Do you realize that how many things that we say on a regular basis are truths from the Bible? And it's because we love God after coming to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Jimmy and I kid about Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Jimmy and I tell each other that God loves us and he won't do anything bad to us. Sometimes things happen, just like happened to Jonah. Everything was gone. The devil took it all. Family, wealth, cattle, slaves, he took everything and left Jonah sitting there looking around saying, where did it all go? God won't do anything bad to you. Anything that he permits to come into your life is because he loves you. He does more than you will ever know. And we tell each other that God loves us and he won't do anything bad to us. And can that be true? What about poor old Job? Let's look at the next thing that happened to Job. You'll find it in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Question, did God do this to Job? No. God permitted it because he had something in mind and because he loved Job. How's that kind of, boy, I can't stand any love like that. The devil did it, but God permitted it to happen. Yes, because God knew that it would work out to Job's advantage in the end. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, did Job sorrow over his losses? I think he did. I think he did. Just the same as you and I would. Just the same. And sometimes God brings some of these things into our life or lets the devil bring them into our life. And when we're all done here in just a few minutes, you will see that it was for Job's advantage. You see, God knows the future. You and I don't. We can only speculate on, and normally when we think about the future, we're worrying about it. Okay. Oh, I don't want to get old. I don't want to get wrinkled. See if my wrinkles in the sheet in the bed can match my wrinkles. Okay. But God loves us. God knows us. God knows what we can stand. God knows what we need. You know what? Job believed God. Job believed in God. Job trusted God because he knew that God loved him. And I want to reiterate again, God loves you. There's not a one in this auditorium he doesn't love. Might be going on in your life, God loves you. So, what could the love of God do with any of the things that happened to Job? Now, first of all, we must acknowledge that God did not do any of these things to Job, but he did permit them to happen. Could God have stopped the devil from doing these things? Yes, he could have. But he didn't. How did Job benefit from these experiences? You know, there was something going on in Job's life that he didn't realize, and sometimes it's going on in our own lives and we don't realize it. Job did not understand the way God worked. Job did not really understand of who God was and what his relationship was to God, and sometimes we don't understand that. How did Job benefit from his experience? Well, first of all, God sent some friends to discourage him. We all have friends, you know, they come into our presence and immediately they start down, you know, bad-mouthing something or trying to pull you down, trying to make you feel worse, you know. Jimmy tells me all the time, cheer up, it'll get worse. And it's sort of a prophecy, because it does. Let's look at chapter 40 of Job. I hope you're still there. Let's turn back to chapter 40. And let's see how God did. He brought forward to Job's knowledge a certain element of pride. Job 40, beginning at verse 1, first five verses of verse 40, Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Who can instruct God? Who can tell God what to do? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. You want to blame God? Blame God for what's happening? Great. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer thee twice, but I will proceed no further. Job knew who he was up against. He knew he could not equal God. He was not like God. Job had just learned a lesson that few men learn and live. How is it that Job survived? It was because God loved him. In love, God strengthened Job, and he gave him what he needed to go through his ordeal. He will do the same thing for each one of us. No matter what the ordeal is, God will give you his grace and mercy to get through it. And if he didn't, what's the worst could happen? Go home to be with him. So God gave Job what he needed to get through his ordeal. Now, Job did not have a Bible to read, because Job was, like I said, the first book that was ever written that's in the Bible. I can only think of one explanation. Job somehow understood the attributes of God, and he trusted God completely. Are you willing to trust God completely this morning? For everything? For everything. Job did not understand God perfectly, but he trusted him best he could. And what is so amazing about Job is the fact that he did trust him. Job 42, let's go to chapter 42. Job 42, 10 through 17. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Up to this point, the friends have been sort of bad-mouthing Job, blaming him for what was happening to him. It was his fault. He was a sinner. He was everything he shouldn't be. And when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Remember, it was the devil. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemma, and the second Kiza, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuk. And in the land there was no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons and even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Did God love Job? Yeah. Was Job's end better than his beginning? Yeah. Did he have to go through this to get there? Yeah. So God gave us so many signs that he loves us. God didn't leave Job without hope or reward. He's never abandoned you because you committed some gross sin. Even if you have, he still has loved you. He still has provided for you. He has still watched over you. God is providing for you all the things that are coming into your life right now. God provided someone to you to tell you about Jesus at some point. He gave you a Bible that you could read about Jesus at some point. God has given you a church family that loves you. God is waiting in heaven to receive you unto himself when your job on earth is finished. And if that's not enough, God has given us his inspired statements in his word that he loves us. You want? What more can you want? Romans 5, 1 through 5 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope. Every one of us this morning has hope and has a reason for it. And God explains in verse 3 of Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Job went through tribulations. We're studying in Sunday school right now adversity and how he uses that. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's why you don't pray for patience, folks. Unless you want tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Does God love you? Oh, I hope to tell you he does. In John 4, 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Are you living this morning? It's because of God's Son. It's because God loves you. And finally, in Jude 1, 20 and 21, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the proof of God's love. He has given you eternal life. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. If things look like they're really crashing, look up. Remember, God loves you. Father, oh, we thank you. Not just for telling us in your word that you love us, but because you show it to us every day by providing for us, by being close to us, by having your Holy Spirit comfort us as we go through this life. And Father, we would ask that you would help us to stay in communication with him. And Father, that we would be willing to yield that we might experience revival, a renewing of the joy of our salvation as your Holy Spirit ministers to us and through us. May you be glorified by everything we do. And we will praise you, Father, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.